the same tithi, this Dvadasi tithi just before Kartik begins. So, on the disappearance days of the great Vaishnavas, Srila Prabhupada always used to chant one very special bhajan of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. So you can check on your devices, Jaya Nilo Premadana. Jaya Nilo Premadana Karuna Prachur. Eno Prabhu Kota Gela Acharya Thaku. Kahamura Swarupa Kaharaguna Sanata. Kadasa Ragu Nata Patita Pava. Patita Pava Kamura Bata Juga Kaha Kavira. Eka Kale Kota Gela No. Eka kale goda gela goranatara. Pasani kuti bo mata anale pashivo. Anale Pashivo Kauranga Gunera Nidhi Kote Gele Pavo. Kesavaka Koilo Bila De Sangan De Koilo Bila De Sangana Paya Kande Narutamada. Sangana Paya Kande Narottamada. Jaya Nilo Premadana Karuna Prachur. Eno Prabhu Kota Gela Acharya Thaku. Eno Prabhu Kota Gela Acharya Thaku. Prabhu Kota Gila Raghunath Bhat Goswami. Deno Prabhu Kota Gila Raghunath Das Goswami. Deno Prabhu Kota Deno Prabhu Kota Gila Krishna Das Kavira. Jaya Vaishnava Thakur, Jaya Vaishnava Thakur, Jaya Vaishnava Thakur, Jaya Vaishnava Thakur. Jaya Vaishnava Thakur, Jaya Vaishnava Thakur, Jaya Vaishnava Thakur, Jaya Vaishnava Thakur. Jai Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada. Vaishnav Thakur ki Jai Nitali Lebe Vishnu Mishrapada is Divine Grace Sile Esi Bhakti Varan Swami Sile Prabhupada Ki Ananda Guri Vaishnavindi Ki Sadgo Swami Prabhu Ki Nama Acharya Sile Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Sikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Ki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopi Go Shama Kund Radha Kund Giri Govardhana Ki Braja Bhumi Vrindavan Dham Ki Tingo Swami Pad Ki Tai Go Preman. All glories to the Assembly Body. All glories to the Assembly Body. All glories to the Assembly Body. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru Gauranga. Glories to you, Srila Prabhupada. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dhadati Sapadandigam Adadanas Chanandam Taibritam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhujo Dhulisyam Janma Janmani. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Panchakalpa Trubhyastha Kripa Sindhu Vaibhaja Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. So this is most auspicious day, the disappearance day of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And there's one commemorating their disappearance on the same tithi, different years. There's a special Teen Goswami Samadhi Mandir in Radhakund, not very far from Manasa Pavana Ghat or Bancha Pandav Ghat. So I thought we would start with Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. Actually, he was the son of Tapan Misra. Tapan Misra lived in a village in East Bengal. He was always anxious to know what was the goal of life and what was the means to attain it. And he went to many, many so-called religious authorities, but he couldn't find out any information. He had special dreams that you just approach Nimai Pandit of Navadvip, he will tell you everything. So the next day he was thinking to go to Navadvip when he heard that Nimai Pandit was there in his very village that very day. He had arrived the day before. So he immediately came and fell at the feet of the wonderful Nimai, who told him that in this dark age of Kali, all the scriptures proclaim that there's no other process except chanting very loudly and very enthusiastically, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So he wanted to go with Nimai back to Navadvip, but Nimai told him, hinted to him that he was very soon going to leave Navadvip. So, because we know Nimai, in his youth, he made his trip to East Bengal. In fact, when he returned, it's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat, because they have a special accent. And Nimai, whoever came from East Bengal, he always used to tease them, imitating their Bengali accent. So finally he joined Mahaprabhu in Puri. And he stayed there for about 8 months, I think. And got the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because after he finished his schooling and everything, and what happened was his teacher was Balaramacharya, who was a great devotee, and many great devotees used to come and visit. So he got so much mercy about I'm getting mixed up with Raghunath Das. That's Raghunath Das. Anyway, so he went to Puri and he stayed there for some time. Then Mahaprabhu told him to go to Vrindavan. Because here in Puri, we're all sitting and listening to Gadadhar Pandit speaking about Srimad Bhagavatam. But you should go there because he was very expert. He used to sing Srimad Bhagavatam in so many different melodies. So we have very couple of melodies that we sing, but he knew many different melodies and he was very expert. And he was totally absorbed day and night. So Mahaprabhu wanted that also the reading of Srimad Bhagavatam go on in Vrindavan. So he sent him to Vrindavan to associate with Rupa Sanatan and all the others and give discourse on Srimad Bhagavatam. So he came here and people became amazed by hearing his ecstatic explanations of Srimad Bhagavatam. Somehow he attracted the attention of the king of Jaipur, who became his disciple, Man Singh. And he built this, he ordered him to build this wonderful temple of Govindadev. We can just imagine how wonderful it was, because we know that later the Muslims broke the temple, but it used to be 7 stories high. Now we only see those 3 main stories, but it used to be very tall. So Raghunath Das got this, Raghunath Bhatta got this service done. So in this way, day and night, especially in Govindadev Mandir, he would read Srimad Bhagavatam day and night for all the devotees. So next we have Raghunath Das Goswami. And we have so much information about him. He's so much nectar is there in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita about our Raghunath Das Goswami. Because then there's one place in Bengal, not far from Bandel, big train station, there's Saptagram. Originally, Sapta Rishis used to do worship there, but also because there was about seven different villages, they all combined together to become the district of Saptagram. And at that time, there was one Muslim Chaudhary. He was collecting taxes there, but he was very harsh, and nobody could, nobody liked him. So he was having great difficulty collecting any taxes, and he only remitted a very small amount to Nawab Hussain Shah, who was the ruler of that area. So Hiranya and Govardhan were two Kayasthas from that area, though Kayastha technically should be Vaishya. Somehow that time they were considered Sudras. Go figure anyway. So they went to the Nawab Hussain Shah and said, we will give you 12 lakhs of rupees. Because we're very respected and honored in this area. There will be no trouble for us to collect. And whatever we collect, out of that we will give you 12 lakhs. Even if we don't collect 12 lakhs, we will still give you 12 lakhs. So, and we can just imagine how much 12 lakhs of rupees was those days. And actually they were collecting, in taxes, they were collecting 20 lakhs. And they gave 12 to the treasury of the Sultan. So that left them with 8 lakhs. In those days, 1 rupee could buy your groceries for the whole week. You know, so we can't imagine the fabulous wealth that they had. Plus they had other, being the governors of that area, plus they made the deal that the Nawab would not interfere with their ruling. They were they're practically the independent rulers of Saptagram. And Hiranya, he had no son, but Govardhan, he had a son named Raghunath. And Raghunath, from a very young age, he showed that he wasn't going to follow the same path as his father and his uncle. Because he was studying he was studying under Balaramacharya, who was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, and many Vaishnavas visited, especially one time Haridas Thakur came, and Balaramacharya, knowing him to be a great Vaishnava, he built a little shack, and every day he would come, and Raghunath got the chance to hear the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Being the son of the practically the kings of that place, many great people used to come and many devotees would come. He heard, but when he heard from the mouth of Haridas Thakur, special current of bhakti began to flow in his heart. And he decided to dedicate himself to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So noticing that he was a little bit indifferent to worldly things, his parents became very worried. And finally, they got the news that Mahaprabhu had gone to Puri and taken sannyas. When they got this news, this was like a thunderbolt for Raghunath. But then the news came that Mahaprabhu had come to, after taking sannyas, he had come again to Shantipur. And Advaitacharya and the two brothers, Hiranya and Govardhan, they were very good friends. So they had no compunctions about sending Raghunath there. So Raghunath, he went there. And because Advaitacharya was a good friend, when he immediately made arrangements for Raghunath to stay there in his house with Chandipur and be with Mahaprabhu the whole time that he was there and take the remnants of his foodstuffs and things. Mahaprabhu then left to go to Puri. So Raghunath returned, but he was a completely changed person. And he wasn't showing any aptitude for worldly life at all. His parents became very, very worried because he's the only heir. Rani had no son, and this was the only son of Govardhan. They were very worried. Then they got word that Mahaprabhu had again come. He had gone to, on the pretext of going to Vrindavan, he went to Ramakeli and delivered Rupa and Sanatana and Jiva Goswamis. On his way back, he again stopped at Advaita Acharya's house in Shantipur. So again, he ran to Shantipur to meet Mahaprabhu. And Advaita Acharya again arranged for him to stay. And he stayed there with Mahaprabhu, relishing his association. Mahaprabhu took him aside one day and said, "Don't be a crazy man. You go back, you do your duties, but within your heart you always remember Krishna. And Krishna will deliver you very soon." And he gave some hint that very soon you'll be delivered. So he returned and immediately took charge of all the affairs of the family. He began collecting all the taxes and taking care of all the different details, and his mother and father were very happy. So, because otherwise he was always trying to run away. Every time he was running away, so Mahaprabhu told him, "Don't be crazy, boy, just go back and do your duty and remember Krishna." In fact, they put so many guards to watch him and everything. Even sometimes he would escape, they would bring him back. And they thought, "Well, alright, let's get him married, because there's nothing more that will chain anyone than marriage." So they got him married to a very beautiful girl. Still he was trying to run away. One day Govardhan's wife said, "Why don't you bind this guy with ropes?" He said, "He has opulence greater than the king of heaven." We can just imagine. They were earning 8 lakhs plus. We can't even imagine. When 1 rupee would buy, that was like, the whole week's supply of groceries, 1 rupee. And they were earning 8 lakhs plus so many other lakhs. They had unmeasurable wealth. He has immeasurable wealth. He has a wife more beautiful than an apsara. These things can't bind him. What will our rope do? What is the use of our rope? But when Raghunath came back, and began to take care of all their family affairs, they were very, very happy. So then the news came that Lord Nityananda was in Panihati, which is not far from Calcutta, about 4 miles from Calcutta. And seeing that now Raghunath behaved himself, his parents let him go there by himself. So he traveled there, and from a distance he paid his obeisance. Mahaprabhu was sitting on a platform underneath a banyan tree. That banyan tree is still there. I have been there. Little desires amongst all the millions of material desires of my heart is one tiny desire to go and see the Tirudahi Utsav sometime. But I've been to Panihati and seen that platform. So Raghunath, he paid his obeisance from a distance. And somebody said, "There's the heir apparent of Saptagram paying his obeisances." And Nityananda came there and slapped him on the back and said, "You're a thief. Why are you staying away from me like this?" What he meant was that Mahaprabhu is Nityananda's property. Nobody can get Lord Chaitanya's mercy without getting the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So he was a thief. He said, "You're trying to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya without getting my mercy. So then I'm going to punish you." And he said, "All right, whatever punishment I'm ready to take." So he told him to do this Chiradahi Utsav. So we know this famous Chiradahi Utsav. So many different types of chipped rice and yogurt, chipped rice and condensed milk, chipped rice and yogurt. So many different things and so many different styles. Just like I've been to the Panihati festival in New Panihati in Atlanta, where they make so many different types of chiradahi. In fact, I was there, so went a couple of times. And Jai Bhattaka told me, so you're from Braj, you make the cowherd boy nectar chiradahi. So we made the cowherd boy nectar chiradahi. In this way, people anywhere they could find a spot, they sat down. Even they sat down in the water of the Ganga. Even if they had to stand knee deep in the water, everybody was there. Everybody got chiradahi. And Nityananda, he brought Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by his meditation. And only those who were very fortunate, like Raghunath Das, they could see Mahaprabhu was there. And with Nityananda, they walked in between all the devotees, taking Nityananda would take a morsel from some bhakta's plate and put it in Mahaprabhu's mouth, and Mahaprabhu would do the same thing to Lord Nityananda. But nobody could see what was going on. Only very few who were very pure at heart could understand what was going on. And then Nityananda had Mahaprabhu sit down, because nobody would begin till Mahaprabhu began to take prasad. Nityananda had Mahaprabhu's Mahaprasad delivered to Raghunath Das. This time when Raghunath came home, he was completely mad. He refused to even stay in the house. He gave up all his duties. He would stay in the temple, in the compound. He would refuse to do any duties, anything. Then they put double guards. He couldn't go anywhere without even undercover agents. His father also employed. There's one other incident that we almost forgot just before this. Was that so? That Muslim who they took the duties, took over his duties, he became very envious. So he went to the Nawab and he said, these guys are making so much money, they're only giving you a little bit. Besides, they're becoming very powerful, they may lead an uprising. So in this way, he sends his men with the chowdhury back to Saptagram and to arrest Hiranya and Govardhan. But naturally, they were smart. They had their spies in the palace, so they understood what was going on. They ran away. So that chowdhury, he arrested Raghunath. And every day he would threaten him, you tell us where your uncles are, your father and your uncle are, or they will beat you. But seeing the sweet face of Raghunath, he could never beat him. Of course, he could never even dream of beating Raghunath. But every day he would threaten him and threaten him. Finally, Raghunath said, look, you're like the uncle of my, you're like the brother of my father. You're my uncle. Sometimes brothers, they fight. Sometimes they make up. You know, I'm your dependent. Is it right that you should punish me like this? I'm also your son. And he began to cry hearing Raghunath's words. He said, anyway, anyhow, I'll get you freed. So he freed him up, and then he went to Raghunath. He said, you go to your father and your uncle and you make some deal. They're making so much money. They should give me my cut, you know. So he arranged everything. So anyway, now Raghunath came back from Chiradahi Utsav. He had nothing to do with anything material. And day and night, ha ha Gauranga, ha ha Nityananda, ha ha Rupa, ha Sanatana. He was simply crying and crying. So finally, one day, and they had him initiated by their family priest, who was Yadunanda Acharya. So Yadunanda, one time, early in the morning, Yadunanda came before daybreak, and he was came to Raghunath. He said, I have some service for you. My pujari, who did the worship the deity in my house, he has run away somewhere. So this is not just ISKCON problem, that our pujari runs away, the cook runs away. This has been going on for the last 500 years. So you convince him to do his service. So Raghunath said, all right. So because he was weak, Yadunanda Acharya was the family priest of the Shemradiya and Govardhan family. So the guards didn't go with him because they knew he's with the family priest. So he got to Yadranandacharya's house. He said, no need for you to go all the way to your Pujari's house. You stay here peacefully. I will go and convince him to come. So then Yadranandan went into the house and Raghunath took off like a shot. And he stayed away from the main roads. He went on the side roads. And immediately he ran to Puri. In the morning when Haranya and Govardhan found out, they were greatly distressed. So where is Raghu gone? Where is our Raghu? They were so upset. They said, "What?" Then they became resigned. What can be done? Now he's become a madman of this Nimai, of Sri Chaitanya, madman of Sri Chaitanya. What can be done? So they resigned themselves to the fact that they had lost their son. And he came to Puri and fell at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu immediately embraced him and gave him over to the devotees. Please feed him, because he had just hardly eaten anything on his way. He was just so anxious to get there. He says, you feed him nice prasad and bring him here. And he had them arrange for his... he kept him with him one night in Gambira, and then he made a separate arrangement for him. And then, one day, he took Raghunath's hand and he put that hand in Swarup Damodar's hand. He said, I give him over to you to you train him in all the secrets of our philosophy. So he was trained under Swarup Damodar, who was witness to all the pastimes of Mahaprabhu in Puri. And Raghunath is claimed that Raghunath made a notebook, but nobody knows where that notebook is. But Raghunath made a notebook. But anyway, he kept within the heart, he memorized everything that Swarup Damodar told him about the later Leelas, Mahaprabhu's Leelas, and plus he saw most of those Leelas, because he stayed there for, I believe it was 16 years he stayed in Puri with Mahaprabhu, and saw the later Leelas of Mahaprabhu. And when Then Govardhan, he heard that Sivananda Sen had returned from Puri, because every year Sivananda Sen would take all the devotees for Rath Yatra. So he sent a messenger there to ask if they had seen Raghunath. And said, yes, everybody in Puri knows Raghunath. He's very dear to all the devotees. So he's there with Mahaprabhu. So the next year when Sivananda Sen went, he sent a servant and a cook and 400 rupees. Now that doesn't sound like much, 400 rupees, it doesn't mean anything anymore. But that time 400 rupees was a lot of money. So Raghunath, what he did with that 400 rupees, because he only took whatever he needed, but with that, every twice a month, he would invite Mahaprabhu for a feast. So this was going on for some time. Then one day he began to consider in his mind that I'm taking this money that is coming from worldly minded people and feeding Mahaprabhu just out of courtesy, because he's afraid of me, he's accepting, but this is actually not a good idea. And he consulted with Swarup, and Swarup went to Mahaprabhu and said, yes, actually to eat the food of worldly minded people, one becomes contaminated, one cannot do Krishna bhajan. It is good that he is, out of fear of him, I accept it, but it is good that he has come to the conclusion himself. So then he asked Swarup, so what does he do? He said, he stands by the Singhadwara gate, and whoever comes, whatever pujaris are coming out, he begs from those pujaris. This way he's maintaining himself. Mahaprabhu, this is very nice. Then another time, Mahaprabhu told Swarup Damodar, I don't see him by the Singhadwara gate in the evenings anymore. Said, no, Raghunath was considering that that I'm just standing here, I'm supposed to be thinking of Krishna, but I'm thinking, this guy gave something yesterday, maybe he'll give something today, or maybe that guy's never given anything, maybe he'll give something today. He said, I'm just like a prostitute, you know. A prostitute is just waiting for some customer. So now what does Raghunath? He goes to where they feed all the beggars. the free prasadam camps. He goes there and he sits with all the beggars. And everyone in Puri, they knew this is the heir apparent of Saptagram. He's sitting with the beggars and taking prasad. Their hearts were broken to see such a thing. And Mahaprabhu was very happy. Then one day he told Swarup, I don't see him by the beggars anymore. He said, no, he was thinking this is also being financed by worldly minded people. This is not good to accept. So there, whatever Mahaprasad isn't sold, the shopkeepers feed it to the cows. Whatever the cows don't take, because it's so rotten, even the cows won't take it. He takes that to the sea and washes it and mixes a little salt, and he's taking that. When Mahaprabhu heard that, he ran to that place where Raghunath was there. He just washed his thing, mixed it with a little salt, put it on a banana leaf, and Mahaprabhu came running and said, Are, what are you doing, Raghunath? You're having feast and you don't invite me. He said, no, Prabhu, this is not for you. He said, no, and immediately took a handful and took it in his mouth. And he tried to take a second one. Swarup said, no, you don't take, this is not fit for you. He said, no, I eat so many types of prasad, but this type of prasad I have never tasted in my life. So nobody can imitate the austerities of Raghunath. Finally, when Mahaprabhu left this world, very soon, many of his, Swarup Damodar also left, very soon after that, many of the close associates, they left. So Raghunath was still quite young, but he was thinking, how can I live without Mahaprabhu? So he decided, I will go to Vrindavan, I will climb Govardhan Hill, and I will throw myself down head first and suicide myself. So he left for Vrindavan with this in his mind. When he got there, and the Goswamis found out, then Sanata Goswami said, no, this is not proper at all. I also had this idea because I had sores over my body and Mahaprabhu would always rub me. So I thought during Rath Yatra I'll throw myself under the cart and leave my body so this I don't have this humiliation anymore that Mahaprabhu's touching the pus on my body. I didn't tell anyone, and Mahaprabhu told him, Sanatan, this body belongs to me. You have no right to take it. I have many things to do, through many services to do through this body. You don't even dream of this thing. So he convinced Raghunath that you're the only, and besides, you're the only one left on the planet who saw Mahaprabhu's later pastimes. The Chaitanya Mangala has been written by Vrindavan Das Thakur, but it's more about the earlier pastimes, but nobody's written about the later pastimes. And you know, so we can hear from you. If you're gone, then where will we hear? So hearing all these pleas of the Vaishnavas, he decided to stay. And he stayed in Vrindavan for some time. Oh, we also forgot. When he gave... that's an important one. When, at some point, he had given him over to Swarup Damodar. But one time he told Swarup Damodar to ask him, I want to know what is his personal instruction for me. And... when Mahaprabhu heard, he smiled. He said, I've already given you to Swarup Damodar to train. But he wanted personal instruction. He said, Gramya Varta na Sunibe, Gramya Katha na Sunibe, Gramya Varta na Koribe, Balu na Kaibo, Balu na Paribo, Balu na Kaibo. And always think of Radha and Krishna. Chant the holy name and think of Radha and Krishna within your heart. So he said, Gramya kakha na sunive. Don't listen to the village talk and mundane news. Gramya barta na karibe. Don't do mundane politics. You don't dress nicely and don't eat very opulently. And always remember Radha Krishna and chant the holy name. So he gave him this very nice instruction. And then he gave him a gunjamala, a Govardhan Shila and a Gunjamala. By giving him Govardhan, he understood that Mahaprabhu had given him Krishna, and by giving the Gunjamala, he understood that he had gotten Srimati Radharani. And Mahaprabhu had worshipped these for about 3 years, they've been brought by one Shankarananda Saraswati from Vrindavan and given to Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu personally worshipped this Govardhan Shila and this, used this Gunjamala for about 3 years. Then he gave it to Raghunath. And that Raghunath worshipped them for the rest of his life. Some people say that Govardhan Shila is in Gokulananda Mandir. Other people have told that somehow or other, just down the street here, we have one place called Bhagavat Nivas. So other people claim that somehow or other the Pujari took it from there and took it to Bhagavat Nivas. So one or two blame. My Prikamaga Guru, Padmalochan, he claims that the real seal is there in Bhagavat Nivas, just down the street from here. So anyway, he stayed in Vrindavan for some time. Then he asked permission to go to Govardhan, specifically at Radhakund and Shyamakund. So just near the Manasapava Ghat, also known as Panchapandav Ghat, he began to do his bhajan on the banks of Shyamakund and meditate on the sweet Madhurya Ras Leelas of Radha and Krishna. And so many, and his bhajan was just like lines on a rock. Hardly any, he spent like most of his time chanting and remembering Krishna, absorbed in meditation on Krishna, and then a little bit of time, maybe an hour or so sleeping, a half hour or so eating, maybe not even a half hour, because he would just take a little bit of buttermilk. When you churn the yogurt into butter, what's left over, that's the real buttermilk. Not like you buy in the store, but that's the chach. In Braj, we call it chach. We go from village to village, just like this Braj Bandha Prikram is going, village to village, making chach and roti. So he was just taking a little leaf cup full of this chach. And he was paying so many obeisances to the Lord, to hundreds of Vaishnavas, and it was just like lines on a rock. Not like us. We think, oh, yesterday we did a late program, so we'll sleep in today. Not like us. Lines on a rock. You can't move those lines. They never. You rub them, they never go away. His bhajan was like lines on a rock. One time it's described that, because that time he was just sitting in the open doing his bhajan, and Sanatana Goswami was staying at Manasi Ganga. So Sanatana Goswami to come, every once in a while he would come there to see Raghunath. So he came there and he saw Raghunath was sitting there doing his bhajan, and tiger and tigresses come to drink water. And Raghunath didn't do anything to protect himself. And the tiger, and then Sanatana Goswami looked, he saw Krishna was standing there guarding Raghunath from the tiger and tigress. And then tiger and tigress drank their water and they left, and then Krishna smiled at Sanatana Goswami and disappeared. And Sanatana Goswami came, he said, what are you doing? What type of bhajan? You're chanting Hare Krishna, the Krishna let me serve you, and you're taking service, you don't pay any attention, this tiger and tigress has come, Krishna was standing there guarding you, you don't pay any attention, what type of bhajan is this? So he promised, I'll be more careful in the future. Another day he was chanting and chanting, and it was summertime. Summertime means that it goes up to 45, and I have seen 50 one time in my sojourn here in Vrindavan. I have seen 50 also. That means like 127 or something for you Fahrenheit Wallace. So he was chanting in the noonday sun, and not paying any attention, just completely oblivious to his situation. And Radharani was standing there, and with her shawl, she was shading him from the sun. And Sanatana Goswami happened to come that day, and he looked down, he saw Raghunath there. He's doing his bhajan in the noonday sun, Radharani shading him. She's holding that upper part of her sari up like this, so you can see her choli was all wet from sweating, you know. And then Srimati Radharani saw Snata Goswami standing there. So she smiled and disappeared. Then Sanata Goswami came. What kind of nonsense bhajan you're doing? You're chanting Hare Krishna, that Radha Krishna, let me serve. And Radharani's coming here. She has to shade you from the sun. You don't see it's noonday sun. You're standing in the, you know, look, she was sweating so much. Just see. And Raghunath turned around and the dust was all muddy. And Radharani's footprints, divine footprints, were there. And immediately he fell on those footprints. And Sanata Goswami, look, if you cannot take care of yourself, you do your bhajan in a bhajan kutir from now on. So then they got a bhajan kutir built, and Raghunath did his bhajan. So this is the original bhajan kutir is there. You can go and near Shamakund and see. And there's so many stories, but we're running out of time. But one story we have to mention, because he had one servant named Das, one Brijvasi named Das, who was bringing him his buttermilk, and he was getting worried that he's just drinking this little leaf cup. So one day Das was herding his cows, and he came to Sakistali, and he saw the same tree there with big leaves, and with those big leaves he made a very big leaf cup. So he brought that leaf cup the next morning, full of charge, to Raghunath. And Raghunath was looking at this leaf cup, you know, great curiosity. Just like we saw one time, we gave Prabhupada one of those umbrellas, you know, you push a little button and it goes boop, boop. And then you push it into the ground, click, click, it folds up. So Prabhupada, just like a little child, he was going boop, boop, and then doot, doot, boop. So Raghunath, just like that, with great curiosity, he said, Das, where you got this leaf cup? Well, I was herding my cows in Sakistali, and I saw the Sakistali. He threw that pot. He said, that is the village of Chandravali. I will never accept anything from Chandravali's village. You never bring anything from there again. Because he was the Ananya Bhakta of Srimati Radharani. And he accepted Krishna's Kaviraj as his disciple. And explained to him, because they wanted Krishnadas to, they needed somebody to write down the later pastimes, as we told, the early pastimes were in Chaitanya Mangala. And Raghunath had, you know, memorized all of Swarup Damodar's notebooks, plus he had witnessed so many of the later pastimes of Mahaprabhu. So Raghunath became his disciple, and he trained him, Krishna's Kaviraj became his disciple, and he trained him in all these things. And on this day, this Dwadasi before Kartik, he left this world. So that brings us automatically to Krishna's Kaviraj. So we don't know hardly anything about Krishnadas. He didn't write anything about himself. So there's nothing much, just that he was from a place called Jamatpur. He mentioned this one time in Chaitanya Charitamrita, because he said, I shouldn't tell this story, but because you need to know about the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, I tell this story. That he was, one time there was Nam Sankirtan in his place, and one great devotee named Miniketan Ramdas, who was a great devotee of Lord Nityananda, came there and began to chant and dance, and everybody was astounded. But the pujari, I think his name was Gunanava Mistra, something like that, he didn't show any respect. And Ramdas became upset, as this is another Romaharsan Sutta. But the pujari was doing his service, so he didn't become angry. But after Ramdas left, then Krishna's Kaviraj, he had an argument with his brother, because his brother was supporting the pujari, because his brother had great faith in Lord Chaitanya, but he had no faith in Lord Nityananda, only glimmer. I shouldn't say no, but he had only glimmer of faith. So Krishnadas was telling him, this is accepting half a hen. You have to have the whole hen to get an egg, you know. You're just accepting half. How will you get the real mercy of Krishna without both Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda? And they had big argument. So that night, he told that there in Jamatpur, that's the only place he mentions where he's from. This is also in Bangladesh somewhere. Nityananda came in my dream, and he describes how beautiful Nityananda is. Interesting, I went because I was seeing the writings about it, and he said that Nityananda was in blackish complexion, so I went back to Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sure enough, it says somehow that he was Shambhara, and so somehow Nityananda was very blackish, and he was decorated with so many wonderful jewelries and a beautiful garland, and he was, tears were constantly flowing from his eyes, and so a beautiful description is there, and he fell at the feet of Lord Nityananda, and Lord Nityananda said, you leave this place and go to Vrindavan and take shelter of the there in Vrindavan, Rupa Sanatana and everyone. So in the morning he woke up, he remembered that dream, he just packed his things and ran away. So nobody knows whether he was married, what he did. Nobody knows anything about Krishna. He didn't write anything. It just, he mentioned by chance that there in Jamatpur, Nityananda came in my dream. So that's only we know he's from Jamatpur. And he came there, and all everyone was very happy, and they told him that we need someone, because they had given him the title Kaviraj, because he wrote so beautifully, that you have to write down the pastimes, especially paying attention to the later pastimes of Mahaprabhu. So he felt himself that I'm very old, I could die at any time, how can I do this? So he went to the temple of Madanagopal. At that time he was known as Madanagopal, Miss Madan Mohan. And while he was praying to Madan Mohan, suddenly Madan Mohan's garland fell off. And the pujari came and placed it reverently around Krishnadas Kaviraj's neck. So he took this as the order of Madanagopal, that I write this Chaitanya Charitamrita. So when Raghunath said he was going to go and stay in Radhika, and they said, you're always in ecstasy, you take somebody with you, you take this Krishnadas Kaviraj with you, is any way you can tell him everything you know and he can write it down. So he took Krishnadas Kaviraj with him, and they stayed in Radhakund. And you can go visit that place where this Chaitanya Charitamrita that we're relishing so much was actually written. And somehow he writes that I'm almost blind, I can barely, my hands are shaking by the mercy of Rupa and Raghunath. He always mentions Raghunath. I'm writing this Chaitanya Charitamrita. He specifically mentions that Raghunath Das is my guru. So he stayed there and wrote this Chaitanya Charitamrita, and on this Dwadasi day, just before Kartik, he left his body. So right near that Manasapavan Ghat, there's Teen Goswami Samadhi. On the left side, I believe, is Raghunath Bhatt, on the right side is Raghunath Das, and then behind in the middle is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So there's so many stories we could tell, but we're running out of time. To glorify these three great personalities, 1 hour is not really enough. Whatever my COVID memory could remember, I've tried to expound to all of you. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Does anyone have any questions or comments or doubts? Yes? Where's our Bhaktam? Oh, Shuri.
The note I left appropriate for today? The note I left.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. So that's the most famous pastimes. I had to tell that one. Okay, Prabhuji. That's our, first we approach the Guru, then we approach Lord Nityananda, then we approach Lord Chaitanya, then we approach Radharani, then we approach Krishna.
Okay, my question is that when we go, Guru I can understand, but for Nityananda and Gauranga I can see them both as the same personality. Like how I can understand.
And that means just like Prabhupada taught us, always before we chant Hare Krishna mantra, we chant the Pancha Tattva mantra. So all their names are there. Just, I don't see what's difficult to understand, that we, by mercy, just like Raghunath, by mercy of Lord Nityananda gave you, when Lord Nityananda placed his foot on Raghunath's head, he got the mercy, so he immediately, Krishna arranged for the way for him to sneak out and go to Puri. So we pray to both of them, there's no problem. Oh, one pastime we forgot. One time, because we heard Raghunath eating just this chaach. So one time, Raghunath was very sick. And Vitulnath, at that time, he was the son of Balavacharya. These two sampradayas were very dear to each other at that time. He had two Ayurvedic physicians. So they came there, they took Raghunath's pulse and said, he's eaten too much sweet rice. And Vitulnath said, that's impossible. And then Raghunath put his head down. He said, no, in my meditation today, the Sakis engaged me, because he was always in Manjari Bhav. So he said, the Sakis today engaged me in making sweet rice, and they fed it to Radha and Krishna. Then their Mahaprasad, they just kept feeding and feeding, because you know, you go to an Indian's house, they just keep giving you and giving you and giving you and giving you. So they just kept feeding me and feeding me and feeding me. So that he was doing in his Manasa Deha, but in his actual Deha, this material body, the symptoms actually came. This is how the amazing thing of Raghunath Das Goswami. Now you can tell us about all the books. Here's our author, our publisher. Stavavali, Dhanakeli, Chintamani, and what else he wrote? Yeah, well, that's... Vislapa Kusmanjali. That he wrote many, many different poems that are found in Rupa Goswami's... what is that book called? Pajavali. Many verses there from Raghunath Das Goswami also. So anyway, we can all go honor our Dwadasi Prasad before our Parn time is over, 9:40 or something, so we have plenty of time. 9:46, okay. Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami Ki! Sri Raghunath Das Goswami Ki! Sri Krishnath Kaviraj Goswami Ki! Divine Grace Sri Prabhupada Ki!